The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you so much on this beautiful Thursday hanging out with me. And if the weather is correct, Saturday should be equally as awesome. Happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Misty, who turns a ripe old age of 52 on Friday. We don't really care about that stuff, so I can share her age. She wouldn't care. But yeah, we've been married for 29 years, coming October 23rd. And one son, Will, who will be 22 in December. But most of you know that have been hanging out with me for the last 20 years. So welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. We've had a great, this is why you don't keep your phone on, folks, whenever you're recording radio for show. That was my phone. Anyway, we'll move on. But we're going to have a fun show today. Just some stuff happening in the market, so we want Rod to come on and comment about. We also are inviting Doug Hughes to join me to talk about providing reliability of income in retirement. You know, going back to my old saying, faith, family, friends, and a fixed income stream, the keys to a happy retirement. And we're going to get into some of the weeds when it comes to what types of income are actually promise-based, risk-based, and guaranteed. Beautiful day. All right, let's move on. We have news of the week. Course, brought to you by all the people I always tell you about, which I'm going to stretch for them. I should know it by heart by now. Kenny Bland Auctions, they're your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. And my good friend Lance Slyke at the Lyke Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Lyke Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. Hey, if you needed a generator, he has a few in stock, which is very, very rare. He pre-ordered a bunch because he knew of the supply chain issues, so he could provide an outstanding service. But if you need a generator, give him a call. Veteran-owned, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician like they are mine. Give him a call, 812-361-3604. That's Unrivaled Electric. You know, when you look at the market the way it's been acting, and you think, this doesn't make any sense, right? Because the Fed has said we're going to continue to hammer down on interest rates. We had a little tick down in inflation, but still 8.5% year over year. But you know what? You have to stay in there because over the last 30 years, the S&P has gained 10% on average. But if you remove just that best 22 trading days, over the entire three decades, 22 days has 22 of 7,554 trading days, your return drops to 5% per year. That's why it's difficult to time when you do rollovers. You have to be smart about it because when you do a rollover, it comes out in cash, and sometimes it takes days to get reinvested. And, you know, that's part of the game, but you have to be aware that quick moves, big days, and typically they happen back-to-back, both down and up, usually come in clusters. The S&P 500 is a cap-weighted index, which means the largest capitalization stocks carry the disproportionate impact on the index performance calculation. This is kind of alarming, but we've talked about this on the show. As of July 20 of 22, the 42 largest stocks in the index carry the same weight as the other 462 stocks. Yes, do your math correctly. There are 504 stocks in the index today. On Thursday, the House member Steve Cohen and Don Beyer out of Virginia introduced this Billionaire Income Tax Act. The proposed legislation would impose a 20% annual tax on the total income of households of at least $100 million. That's income of $100 million. Total income is defined as everything, pretty much, including unrealized gains. I don't know how they're going to calculate that because you can only figure out what unrealized gains are on publicly traded stuff. If it's private, you'd be required to do an appraisal every year. If that's the case, you know, kind of like, how's that going to happen, right? But we'll see how it all shakes out. Like everything, when things are proposed, they have a long way to go and a short time to get there. One of my favorite movies of all time, Smoking the Bandit, everybody. The annual increase applied to Social Security retirement benefits as of 1/1/23, based on the CPI, over the last 12 months that ended on September 30th of 2022, inflation over the nine-month period was reported at 8.7%. So we're gonna have two back-to-back whopper increases in Social Security, which also means Medicare premiums go up. So for new retirees coming in, yeah, your Social Security is higher, but so is your Medicare. You know, we haven't had adjustments like this. It's only happened twice in history. 14.3% back in 1980, right around Social Security reform during the Reagan years, and again, 11.2% in 1981. We know Social Security is short of money. Benefits are funded 96% by payroll taxes currently and 4% funded by income taxes paid on Social Security benefits, because currently most of us pay 85% of that benefit is subject to a federal tax. Payroll taxes have been at 6.2% for employees and 6.2% for employers since 1990. No change in the last 32 years, and that shouldn't change, man. I don't want that to change. What needs to probably happen, I guess, is we're going to have to raise the limit that people pay income on when it comes to Social Security. And that appears to be the fix that's in the works, but I haven't heard anything definitive. But I'm going to have some opportunity to speak to congressmen and senators soon and see what they have to say about this. We'll see if that happens again. I hope it doesn't. Since repayments of federal student, but I don't have a student loan. If I had one, my opinion could be different, I guess. Since repayment of federal student loans were suspended for 6 months by the CARES Act back in 2020, President Trump and Biden have extended that initial and end date six times, twice by Trump, four by Biden, most recently for the four-month period will expire at the end of this month. And you know what? I don't know. We'll see. It's an election year. You never know what people are going to do to try to get votes. I think that you're danged if you do, danged if you don't. And I'm hoping that they don't, because, you know, it is what it is. You can only do this for so long. But we have a lot of votes that are happening in the 2022 midterm elections, 3 months away, all, every one of them, 435 House seats and 34 of 100 Senate seats are up for grabs. Oh, you know, going back to the inflation rate, and I talked about Social Security going up 8.7% and all that kind of stuff. Well, this is exactly why we cannot inflate our way out of our debt problem. When you have so many social services that are tied to inflation, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. A lot of folks have claimed this is the way out, is that you have inflation. Well, that could be true if everything else was pegged, but when 70% of your budget is non-discretionary spending and much of it goes up with inflation because costs go up, then that's not the way out of the problem. And I wish I could tell you the way out. I just know there's a big problem coming, and that's why I have continued to encourage people to listen to the podcast 2025, The Final Drive, coming off of a big three-hit series coming Monday, well over 200,000, individual unique downloads to the podcast. A lot of good things happening over in that room. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what did I do today? Well, as I've been promoting, if you'd like for me to come speak to your group of employees, give them solid financial education, I was down at General Motors today in Bedford as an invitation, a part of an educational series we put together for them. When we come back, we'll talk about what we talked about today. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, you know, I've been saying that, hey, we've been doing this for lots of private employers, mainly through the Center for Lifelong Learning at Ivy Tech as the backdrop, but it doesn't have to go through Ivy Tech. If you'd like to have someone come out and put it together an educational series, it's mainly lunch and learns. We were out there for third shift turnover at 7 in the morning, and then we were back again for first shift on their lunch break, and we're going to be coming back in a few days or a few weeks for that second shift group. Shift group. But they have about 1,600 employees down there, and we had great attendance today, and we're going to build on this series. It's about a 3 to 4 part series from soup to nuts, from life planning You know, your retirement is not what your grandparents' retirement is. The old retirement versus the new retirement, and all the opportunities and also responsibilities that come with life planning. But how to have a purposeful retirement and have fulfillment of time, not just fill up your time. We went over the retirement needs and expenses. How do you figure out what you're going to need? What expenses should go away? One of the things I talked about today, and actually had someone come up afterwards just to somewhat throw it back and forth at me. I'm always like, listen, when you're working, yeah, I understand the fact that your mortgage is 3% and you think you can make more on over a long period of time somewhere else. I get that. But when it comes to retirement, you have to flip your mental switch. You're no longer an accumulator. You are in retirement. What do you need in retirement? I need cash flow. What costs money on the opposite kind of cash flow? Debt. So I don't care if your interest rate's zero. If you have a $100,000 mortgage and you're paying $1,000 a month, that's cash flow. If I had $2 million, if I had $10 million of assets that were producing zero cash flow, I don't have anything in retirement. You can't take growth to the grocery store and spend it, right? That's what I told them today. You need cash flow. And that's what the lessons today were at General Motors. And we also went through the retirement roadblocks and mistakes that people make. Some of the biggest mistakes people make, you know, well, not basically covering the necessities of life with guaranteed lifetime income. We also went through how to understand taxes and not just delaying taxes into the abyss, but addressing it now as we understand that tax rates are likely to be much higher in the future than they are today. We talked about some retirement plan distributions, asset protection, investments, and say estate planning are to come down the road. But hopefully after today, we have some new listeners to the radio show and the podcast, so welcome. We're trying to make it very easy on them. We actually sent them all a link to just click and sign up and start listening. But I was encouraged by the fact that we didn't have that many listeners at the plant. Why am I encouraged by that? Because that shares with me, shows me that we have a lot of people to reach. If I walked in there and they all raised their hands, yes, we would listen every week, then I would be like, my job is done here, and I would move on. But that's not the case. About 20%. The people have been followers and have listened. So yeah, it was a great opportunity. So once again, if you're in a position where you can have control over someone coming in and doing a educational series of workshop, financial series, we are completely geared up for that and staffed up and all of that. And then the best part, I think, is the opportunity after your employees get through all the education that they have an opportunity to have a Zoom, a call, a complimentary meeting, whatever, 20 minutes long, to just see what's going on in their world, to see what they need to be doing a little bit different, just bouncing things off people. I had a guy today raise his hand. He said, hey, you know, you hear about putting money into your emergency fund, but my money's sitting in the bank earning nothing. And still the banks aren't paying that much. They don't have to. They have so much cash, your cash. Even though rates are going up, their cost of funds, either to you, paying you at your deposit, not much, or going to borrow it from the Fed, that's gone up. But nonetheless, they don't have any reason to pay you much more. So you're going to have to get out of the sandbox and start looking around at other opportunities out there that are highly liquid, maybe still give you a decent or a little bit better return. And the bank's deposit rates will begin gradually coming up, maybe shift back. Well, you know, it's been a game we've played for almost 30 years. You know, where do we go to get the best yield? Well, people tend to chase yield. When you chase yield, you get in trouble. You have to consider liquidity. You have to consider risk, right? That's a big one. This person that I talked to wanted it to be FDIC insured. So I'm like, well, have you looked at some of the CDs around that are paying a little bit more, or potentially, you know, moving into some other government-backed type of instruments that you might get a little more money out of, like some treasuries, you know? And he had no idea even how to do that. So there is a lot of opportunity for people to be educated, informed, and really, we just had a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And I was worn out, though, honestly, by the end of the day, because, you know, by the time you do 2-hour-long workshops and you're speeding through tons of material, it'll get to even the most seasoned of us, like myself. All right, but I'm excited about going back down there in a couple weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll be back down again to wrap up the series. And it's just fun for me to get out there and again, because it's been so long, so I've had a regular series of opportunities to be in front of lots and lots of people. And yeah, and like I said, I want to tell the story of 2025, the final drive. I want people to understand that we have a real opportunity in front of us. And I don't have the time or the energy to tell the story to single people thousands and thousands of times. But if I can tell it 100 times to thousands and thousands of people, now you're onto something. And that's why I have a great deal of gratefulness for having an opportunity to be behind this microphone, to have such a loyal listening group of people. And I know those people are continuing to encourage others to listen as well as the numbers on the podcast continue to grow and grow and grow. So fun day today down at GM. We got a lot of other folks that have reached out to us. I'm not going to mention them by name, but we do have several. So if you're one of them and you're in a decision-making opportunity or decision-making position of being able to offer or bring in this kind of financial education to your employees, give us a call, reach out through the website, cfci.us is the easiest contact us. There's actually a click right to getting me to come to your place, or we'll have a place for you to come. You know, even like Ivy Tech, they'll lease out a room, and then, you know, we have a room down, we have the Legacy Learning Center that can house, you know, 50 people or more. So we'll find a place if you don't have one to house your folks to make sure they have a great educational experience. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get the old hot rod on to see what in the heck's going on. A little lighter than expected inflation number on Wednesday, and the market's lit up. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, last week, stocks turned kind of mixed as investors struggled with headlines suggesting the Fed was unlikely to soon ease up on its current monetary tightening policy. And ahead of the Friday employment report, stocks were generally higher, highlighted by a Wednesday rally triggered by fresh earnings surprises and a better-than-expected economic report. The rally was especially notable because it occurred when multiple Fed officials said that the fight against inflation had not ended. Rob, we had inflation numbers that came in this week around 8.5%, and the market took off. Hallelujah, inflation's going away. And you and I laughed in the hallway of our 674 South College Avenue office, and we just said, it ain't gone away yet. And the market, man, it just went so bad for this thing to turn the other way.
Yeah, it most certainly does. And I've been saying for a couple of weeks, because really after the Fed meeting when they raised their rates, the market has been acting as though it heard something I didn't, which is that there's a pause coming in the near future. And then, yes, to your point, then this inflation number comes out. Obviously, 8.5 is better than 9.1. 8.5 is better than 8.7, which is what the estimate was. 8.5 is not good, and it's a long ways from where the Fed wants to get it to, which means the Fed's nowhere close to actually being done raising interest rates. And then I think more importantly, you really have to start to do a deep dive into the numbers and the inflation. Well, a large portion of what we got back from the standpoint of reducing the inflation came out of commodities. And a lot of those commodities would be somewhat related to housing, which we know has slowed a bit. So, mm-hmm. So that slowing is going on. And then, of course, gasoline. Well, the thing with gasoline is there's no guarantee that that trend is a permanent trend. One of the big reasons that gasoline and oil has rolled over and sold off is because China's economy is still slow and sluggish due to their no COVID policy. And anytime someone gets COVID in an area, they shut that whole area down. Now, it hadn't been as bad as it was previously when most of Shanghai was shut down. So they haven't been shutting down as big of areas. But if all of a sudden China opens up fully and their economy starts kicking again, they are a huge demand for oil and distilled products of diesel and gasoline. And if they become a huge buyer of those products once again, guess what? Oil goes back up. And then potentially, and I'm not predicting it could happen, but it most certainly could happen that if oil makes a big run before the next inflation number comes out next month, that you actually could potentially have an inflation number a little bit higher than what this month was. The pain point for the consumer are some of the areas that we didn't see any relief in this report. Food still went up. Rent still went up. So many of the things that you don't get to make a decision, do I or don't I buy, are still heavily elevated. So, yes, like I said, housing materials down, but you get to pick and choose if you're going to buy a new house. You don't have to buy a new house every single week. You do have to buy groceries for yourself and your family every single week. So if grocery is still high and many of the other bills are still high, you're still feeling the pinch. And let's not forget, 5.1 was the wage inflation. 8.5 was the core price index inflation. Well, your real wages still dropped by over 3%.
Yeah, I know.
That's not a positive thing.
No, I think the counter argument would that be, well, we're at least maybe going in the right direction. And the big question is maybe, but then the market, you know, it reacts. But, you know, earnings have been good, too. So you have other ideas floating around that there could be an argument that that's counteracting this or that. But yeah, there's just a lot to unfold here over the next several months and probably the next year. Of course, we have the midterm elections coming up. I think most of the market believes it'll go a certain way, but I don't think that it matters who's going to be elected when it comes to these things that we're looking at right now from a market perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I have said that if the overwhelming opinion is that the current administration isn't the best for the economy and you get a change in leadership in the House and the Senate, you may get a very short-term relief rally that, oh, okay, gosh, they'll do better with economic policies. But the reality is we don't really get anything out of Washington, D.C. on a consistent basis that benefits the average American on either side of the aisle. This isn't one side or the other. They are so far apart, it's hard for them to ever get anything really done outside of emergency bills because neither side will vote for the other side's plan. So it's always got to be carried by one side only. So then its proof is in the pudding. And if there isn't any policies to come out to help fix some of the economic ailments that everybody believes we have, then that would be a very short-lived rally off of that. To your point that there are positives, yeah, hey, I'm not full doom and gloom. I don't think the market is going to blow up. I'm just trying to point out to people that things may not be as good in the very near term as what people think. Long term, I'm still pro stocks. I still believe that over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, stocks will outperform bonds. They will most certainly outperform cash or money market type of a deal. But in the very near term, you know, we bring this up, especially as we discuss it weekly or on Glass of Show, where we're talking about it twice a week, just to give people a gauge of where things are at today. But we're not necessarily talking about where things are going to be off into the future, which is really how we encourage our clients to manage their investments and their assets.
Yeah, I had an opportunity today, as you well know, to be out at General Motors speaking to them about we're going to talk on how to invest your money like a pension fund. You know, money that you're going to need soon is invested one way. Money you might need, you know, a few years another way, but money you don't need for a very long time should certainly be in, absolutely should still be in stocks. And I everyone understands that, but for most people, they never do that. They just keep investing the same way they invested, you know, all the way through their accumulation years. But when you get into the distribution side or you start moving towards that side, maybe a few years out, you've got to really start, you know, buttoning things up. And, you know, we had a good opportunity last year to do some of that. And, you know, maybe we'll have an opportunity here to do it again. But once you've had a couple shocks to your system and you're like, okay, am I doing this the right way? I mean, you're naturally questioning yourself, and I think you should. So we are sitting here today in August of 2022, Rod. I know you hate to predict things, but you're usually pretty decent at it, even though it's like the people that say, well, I don't want to predict things, but here's what I think. They're usually more right than the people that say, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep. So I think where we're at here, in the very short term, we are deeply overbought. And that's regardless of fundamentals. That's just purely, we have had such a huge rally off of July and into early August. We are way overbought in the very near term. Now, can we become more overbought? Sure. You always have the FOMO, the fear of missing out. That seems to be playing a little bit of that can help create a meld up. From a technical perspective, We broke through some resistance levels fairly easily in multiple ones of them, and we're still above them. So that bodes well for the short run. And if we go back and we actually kind of look at what our beginning of the year outlook was, we thought 22 would be an okay year in the market. We got concerned about 23, and our concerns for 23 was more on the fundamental side of things, because we felt as though the only way to conquer inflation and get it to the level the Fed wants it, and remember, that's 2%, way below where we're at right now, was to potentially push interest rates to a level that made it very restrictive in the economy for growth and potentially pushed us into a recession. Well, I think all of that's on the table. The biggest difference is we didn't anticipate a 25 to 30% sell-off in the first half of 22. And we thought maybe those troubles would rear their head in the early stages of 23 or later. So, yeah, after this, we pause. Maybe we can get a rally. Maybe we even get back to flat for 22. But that's where we're just trying to paint the picture to people that, hey, let's just be aware that the fight's not over from an inflation perspective. And even though we've had a strong rally right now, we are rooting for the rally to continue on. We are most certainly not rooting against it. But we are also acknowledging that there may be more trouble brewing within the economy, the consumer, and the jobs market than what is currently showing up in the monthly economic data.
Well, our next segment, we're going to talk about providing a reliability of income in retirement. So, Rod, that's a good segue out of volatility into reliability. So, Rod, thanks so much for your contribution. As always, we'll see you back at the ranch.
Sounds good, Dave. Have a great show.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Doug Hughes will be joining us in-house, the host from a couple weeks ago, to talk about this exact topic. He loves to talk about providing reliable income in retirement, probably more than he likes wiper fishing. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, first the important stuff. Doug Hughes joins me here in the studio. Dougie, thank you. And thank you, and you did a great job on the week that I was out. I appreciate that very much.
It's been called a command performance.
That's what I've heard.
I was brought back in again this week, yeah.
Yeah, well, I want, before we get to the really the kind of the not so important stuff, the important things are, what is a wiper?
Yes.
And two, are they hitting?
Yes, so a wiper is a mix between a white bass, which is a smaller fish, and a striped bass, like from the ocean, striper, white bass, wiper. They are hybrids.
They're not. It's not a saltwater fish. It's
not
a
saltwater
fish. It's like
fish.
You get down at Kentucky
hybrids,
Lake. Yeah, they're hybrids.
And they have been bred together for years, and we have been stocking them in Lake Monroe for years. They're good sized fish. You kind of know
they
when
don't
you
reproduce.
Catch. They don't reproduce. You know when you catch them, kind of how old they are.
Why do they put them in the lake?
Well, because we had a lot of shad, which is a feeder fish, a bait fish, and so to reduce shad populations, oftentimes you put predators into your bodies of water, and so wipers are a great fish to have in our particular lake. Keeps
and a
the
good,
shad
good
population
clean
down.
Fish to eat as well. So,
Absolutely,
are they hitting right now?
They are. I have to tell you, my friend who runs a guide service said yesterday he's having a hard time keeping them out of the boat. And so, my son and I went last week, and we had 21 in just a couple of hours of fishing. So they're schooled up. If you can find the seagulls, you can find, and the birds going down and hitting the water, you'll be able to find the fish. They're all over the lake.
Well,
I
mean, that's easier said than done. Finding the birds and finding the fish. Finding the birds means the fish might be there, but then catching the fish and knowing what depth, what lure, all that, that's where the wiper sniper comes into play.
And he brings all the variables into your favor. That's the beauty of it.
So anyway, if you want to know more about how to catch wipers on Lake Monroe, give us a call.
Great guided trip. Give us a call. I can connect you to a great person. You'll enjoy your day on Lake Monroe. Promise you.
Doug, you know I've said this for years. The key to a happy retirement is having faith, family, friends, and a fixed income stream, and providing reliability of income in retirement is so important. The question always is, how much of that do you need and how much of it do you want? Now, I always kind of rhetorically would say to people, and I don't do it anymore, but okay, of this income that you think you need in retirement, how much of it, let's call it $5,000, how much of it do you want from a guaranteed or a contractual source versus relying on the stock market? The answer is all of it. People
all of it.
They want all of it. Now, but they don't know if that's the right answer or not. Is all of it. I would argue that you should have at least your necessities covered by a guaranteed income stream. So what is a guaranteed income stream? I think you might laugh. I think Social Security is a guaranteed income stream. We're going to get this thing fixed. We're going to get it fixed. I know it's scheduled to exhaust in 2032 and all that, but there's things behind the scenes being done now to try to shore that up. But there's other things like pensions would be guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But the third piece that more and more people are getting attracted to because they're just tired of worrying about the volatility in the market are annuities.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, David, when you go through reliable income, sometimes people use bonds. Bonds pay reliable incomes.
Promise-based.
Promise-based. Some people use rents. They have rental real estate, and that's contractual with a renter, not an
right.
institution.
That has credit risk.
It has credit risk. But then this other sleeve falls into contractual guarantees through insurance companies that have come in the form of an annuity. Now, the word annuity, as we know, comes from the word annua, which is annual, which is a contractual guaranteed income stream based on years, based on age, based on some factors. And what it does is it just simply allows you to create your own pension plan. I was working with someone, interestingly enough, this week, and we looked at one of the major annuity issues here in Bloomington, which would be Tia Kreff. And we looked at the overnight address, and the overnight address was a particular number, Andrew Carnegie Boulevard. A lot of people tend to forget where these annuities and how they got in places like hospitals and libraries and education.
Schools, right.
It came from Andrew Carnegie, who just felt like that librarians and teachers should be able to have lifetime income once they retired. So Andrew Carnegie actually is the founder of TIA when it comes to Tia Kreff. And so these instruments are not something that insurance companies came up with 20 years ago. These instruments
and strategies hundreds of years ago
have always been a part of the way people retired. So we always say to people, when you think about reliable income and how much money you do not want to have exposed to the idea of running out of money, because you can run out of money but not run out of income. And an annuity stream will allow you to run out of money. God forbid the markets are terrible, you make terrible investment decisions and all this, you still have a reliable income stream coming through no matter what happens in the markets. And there is an appeal for people to have that kind of an instrument.
So it just depends on your appetite for yep. having guarantees or not mm-hmm. having guarantees. But when it comes down to a promise-based guarantee, which is, okay, I promise to pay you what I told you I'd pay you,
mm-hmm.
You also have the risk-based, which also that includes some risk, what I just said, but then you have the markets and all that, or you have the guaranteed type of risk. And that is the difference between assurance, it'll be okay, Dougie,
mm-hmm.
I promise you,
yes,
or true insurance, where it is absolutely not just contractual, but it is backed by an insurance company, which has all kinds of other backings. And I can tell you this, folks, during the Great Depression, who bailed us out? The insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
During the Great Recession, thousands of banks failed, but I didn't see the insurance companies folding their tents. There might have been one or two. But the process that happens with an insurance company, a little bit similar to FDIC with banks. If you have a bank shut down on a Friday because they're insolvent, on Monday they open up under a different name.
Right, right.
Insurance companies aren't much different. If you had an insurance company fail, they go into receivership. Receivership, mm-hmm. basically the Indiana Department of Insurance and every department of insurance around the country takes ownership basically of that insurance company. And then it will say, Doug, here, you take this piece, you take that. Always sell off the good pieces first.
Absolutely.
Then we have the garbage at the end that causes it to go down. Here, you take some, you take some, you take some.
That's right.
And that's how it works. So it really is very, very similar
yeah.
in the backing, and that people should feel, oh, good, very good about these. And just like everything else, banks have ratings. You can find them.
Yeah.
You can find them. B-plus rated, A-rated. Insurance companies have ratings. And they're all kind of in the same pool of FDIC or the guarantees of the
yep.
yeah of the insurance Department of Insurances. But the reason you want a strong bank, you want a strong insurance company, is because you don't want to go through a major inconvenience. It's not you're going to lose your money, but it's an inconvenience, a major mm-hmm. inconvenience.
Yeah.
But these are solid, they're strong, and it's true insurance, not just assurance.
And you know, David, the thing that we always remind people of is there's floods of information out there. But your particular risk tolerance for income, not just the stock market, but your particular risk tolerance for income should be about you and what gives you financial peace, what gives you the ability to sleep at night. Should not be about a talking head, should not be about someone at the water cooler who, by the way, may have a completely different financial background than you. It should be based upon your income risk tolerance. What do you want that income risk tolerance to look like? And you can get all the ideas you want. You can talk to your uncle. You can talk to your best friend. You can talk to whoever. But remember, they all have a different scenario. And so going through and putting together a written retirement income plan that we've talked about in this program for 20 decades now, a written retirement income plan becomes so important in times like these.
Even my dogs have a promise-based plan that my wife will feed them, right? So that's promise-based. That's right. All right, so the kids are back in school. Now what can you do, you, to move yourself forward in life and towards a successful retirement? We'll be right back to discuss that. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Host last week for Your Money with David Hayes, Doug Hughes joins me hot in the house. I was in North Carolina last week. You know, Doug, there's a lot of things as the kids go back to school and moms and dads can start thinking about themselves and how they move themselves forward in life and towards a successful retirement. It's a great time as the kids go back to school just to check the percentage you're putting in your 401ks or 403b or whatever it might be. Make sure you're putting at least 10% in, and maybe if you're older, a lot more than that. And if you're younger, man, at least put your match in. Give what the companies, the schools, the government, whatever they're giving you. Make sure it's invested the way it should be. You don't have it sitting, you know, in something that's not making anything, like a fixed bond fund or something like that when you're 20 years old. Get that guy in the stock market. If you're older, make sure you talk with someone at least 5 years away from retirement. Am I lined up correctly to kind of glide into this retirement, or is there some disaster waiting at the end of the runway? If you're trying to get out of debt, get out of debt. How did you get in this in the first place? Figure that out first and then come up with a very coordinated strategy to roll yourself through to get yourself out of debt. And Doug, there's just so many things that people can do to help themselves move forward in life and towards a successful retirement, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely. And David, you know, there's always these little practical ideas. One is to always be doing deductible reviews, like you review your finances. Mm-hmm. Check out the deductibles on your insurances. We talk about this in the class that we teach, that there comes a certain point if you have an emergency fund to put together and things like that, maybe raise your deductibles so your insurance is a little bit cheaper and you can better use your money. So always talk about deductible reviews. You know, another thing is we have talked many times on the program and in our classes about the risk of having your insurance, your paycheck, your retirement, everything tied to your employer. Now, we hope you have great employment and it stays that way forever, but there's a risk in having everything tied to one source. And so we often talk to people about what can you own on your own that isn't connected to that employer in case things begin to change. So a little evaluation of autonomy with your finances from one employer is always a good idea.
The traditional view of retirement that I spoke at today at Ivy Tech, at General Motors, you talk about Ivy Tech, was pension, guaranteed, mm-hmm. Social Security, bang. So little reliance on my personal savings. But in today's world, you know, I look back 10 years ago when a person may have thought, you know what, I don't really have to worry about this. I have a great pension. And then guess what? Bang, it gets frozen. Mm-hmm. And now you're 15 years out from retirement. You're like, oh no, now I have to really get after this and start saving. So to your point, even though something feels like it's going to be there, the pension will be guaranteed once you get it, but it's not guaranteed they're going to still have the pension when you get there. I mean, there may be a gap of time. So you have to take responsibility for, you know, your health. You have to take responsibility for your finances, your family. There, no one else should be taking care of this for you except yourself.
That's right.
I mean, we don't want your employer. We're grateful for what they give you. We don't want the government taking care of me. I want to take care of myself.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's a good lesson for us all to learn, is that when it comes to the environment we're in now, we are personally responsible for our outcomes, not relying on anybody else. Mm-hmm. But it's so important to understand there's just basic principles. If you follow them, you'll generally be okay. Not always, but generally okay. Yep. And I think just working yourself out of debt, making sure you're putting money in the right places, and you let it go, investing it the correct way, quit spending more than you're bringing in, track your spending if you don't know where it's all going. That's important to understand. Use whatever method you want to try to get out of debt. I was actually talking with a friend of mine this week that lives in Colorado that came on about, he came with, got some money from selling some real estate. And so we started talking about like what to do with it, you know. And he started asking me about good debt and bad debt. And, the only debt that's really ever good is debt that you buy maybe a house that appreciates in value. Mm-hmm. You certainly don't want debt on the steak you ate at,
right.
You know, the steakhouse or a year ago
yeah.
in some cases. So, yeah, there's basic principles. And that's why, you know, I'm continuing to enforce the idea that employers need to take more responsibility for educating their employees. And that's why I'm grateful General Motors opened their doors to us this week, or actually a few months ago, and we followed up this week. We have other big employers around town. We have Ivy Tech that continues to promote the programs, and they call it their most successful program through the Center for Lifelong Learning. But it takes work. You don't just say, we're having the class, and you expect people to come. It's not build it and they will come.
Right.
It's build it, you promote it,
then they will come. Yes.
There's a missing link there that we filled that gap. Hopefully we've done a decent job, and being here on the radio is certainly one of those opportunities. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this show. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, folks, if you're not doing it, you need to do it. Follow us on 2025, the Final Drive podcast. We have 26 or 7 now in the can. A great three-part series, Martin James, CPA, out of the Plainfield area, good friend, also a founding member of the EdSlot IRA Elite Group. And we're going to continue on. So start with number one and just keep on going. If you spend some time in the car, it's a great way to hang out with your old friend Dave. And, that's what we're doing, trying to inform you, enlighten you, inspire you, motivate you name it, that's what we're trying to do. So Doug, appreciate you being part of the program as always. And
absolutely.
You and I need to get out on the lake and get some wiper fishing
anytime
done.
We need to find the places to go.
Amen to that.
Yep.
Hey, I hope everyone has a great week. Enjoy this great weather, and Little League football is going fine too. I'm back at it again, as I have been for many, many years prior. But anyway, I'll keep you up on that as the year moves on. So have a great one, everyone. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.